Welcome to the Cruciform Life Church podcast, featuring the weekly sermons from our Sunday gathering. Please visit us online at www.cruciformlifechurch.org for more information.
Almost done with the book of first letter of Paul to Timothy. And let's be excited to jump to the topic on membership after 1 Timothy. We are still looking at if we will go through the topic of first of membership right away, or we would look at God's kingdom. But those are the two things that we are looking, which of these two topics that will come first. So in this part of the letter of Paul to Timothy, we are, again, being told of some pastoral duties that Paul wanted Timothy to make sure that this happens in the church. See, our drive to display the power of the gospel to transform a community. This is what drives everything we do. We want to display the power of the gospel to transform a community of the people so that we seek to reflect the gospel by how we live together has caused us to seize every opportunity. This is our drive. We want to seize every opportunity to reflect the gospel. It is always about Christ, isn't it? We're not just here to take care of our widows, any widows in the house. We're not just here to care for the needy. We are here to reflect the gospel of Christ, and we are seeing all these opportunities as opportunities to reflect the gospel. And this is what makes this exhortation of Paul here very important to us. We do not want to miss this exhortation of Paul to help those who are really devoting themselves to the work of the Lord but have no means for a living. And that's my contextualization in our time today. We are living in a different time. Even widows today might have more than those who have husbands. Our time has changed. And so if we look at this one, this might be applied to people whose heart and passion is really to serve the Lord, but they have no means for living. It is an opportunity if we see someone in the church and we see that he qualifies what Paul said here, she qualifies what Paul said here, then it is an opportunity for us to reflect the gospel in such a unique way. In such a unique way. Hard, painful, it calls us to sacrifice, but nonetheless, I believe it will display the gospel in ways that other opportunities would not. You see, because of the image of God, because of the image of God in man, if you look at our laws, it still reflects the law of God, isn't it? The laws of the land, wherever you go, it's almost like you go to another country, you would expect that a lot of our laws in the Philippines would be the same in those countries. And it is a testimony of the image of God in man, corrupted as it might be. The policies of a lot of government agencies, or even in our companies, diba, reflect the law of God in so many ways. And the law of God is the law of love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. You realize that God has really put this into the heart of man so that even in the policies of government agencies, companies, you see this reflected. For example, PhilHealth policy on qualified dependents says, qualified dependents of PhilHealth members Numbers include spouses and legitimate children under 21 years old. Illegitimate children under 21 years old whose paternity has been legally established. Dependent parents who are 60 years old and above. And wait, there's more. Parents-in-law are not considered qualified dependents. Even PhilHealth somehow reflect that care for some people who still might have been dependent to their parents. It makes sure, you know, that they will enjoy these things. Now, the church who does not only have the image of God in them, again, corrupted as it may be, they are God's new creation. We are God's new creation. Somehow, it right away tells us that we should be better than these government agencies or companies. We should be better. If the state, if the government somehow found a way to take care of qualified dependents, the church should somehow take care of her qualified dependents. That's why we entitle our sermon this morning, A Gospel-Shaped Care for Qualified Dependents. And I believe even today we have qualified dependents in the church. And I want to lay down through Paul in this text, who are those whom we should consider as qualified dependents? Is there anyone in the church that we miss out? But they're supposed to be helped by the church because they can be considered as qualified dependents. Huwag po kayong mag-apply ng qualified dependents after the sermon. One of the important areas in the life of the church that Timothy was pastoring, the church of Ephesus, was taking care of widows. Alam po natin yung widows, no? Widows are those who have been married, but then napatay po yung kanilang asawa, and it posed a problem in the church. This is not surprising here that Paul has to address this because the first major challenge of the first ever church, the church of Jerusalem, their first major challenge was how to deal with the widows in Acts chapter 6. This already tells us how difficult it was to be a widow. No, a widow in that particular culture. Deprived of any opportunity to work. Women at the time were so much dependent on the men. And today, men have become dependent of the women. If a widow would not have a son to take care of her or any relative, then the church took them as a responsibility. And that was a ministry in the churches. They took it as a moral obligation to take care of these widows. Yes, you heard me right. A moral obligation. Therefore, some. So let's be clear with that. I think Paul did not say all widows. He said some of the widows were somehow considered as qualified dependents who were deserving. Yes, you're right. Deserving. This is not something that if you're a widow, you're entitled to this one. There are particular widows in the church who were deserving of the help of the church. So this apparent presence of the widows in most churches. Look at that. Paul, when he said to Timothy, this is how you address older men, younger men, older women, and younger women, he spent in our translation today just two verses. Two verses. And have you ever thought why Paul has to spend how many verses? From verse 3 down to verse 16, that's practically 13 verses just for widow. This is not a small thing in the time of Paul. This is a big thing. This defines a church, if you may. At that time, if a church somewhere will neglect their moral responsibility to the widow, that would reflect in the image of the church. Again, we can dismiss this and argue that, Pastor, have you forgotten? This is the 21st century. This is not the case anymore. Women can work. Women can work. In fact, most widows today are not really having a hard time. But if we skip to the next passage, to the pastors, to the elders, I believe this is the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord, this is what they call a supraculture. Supraculture meaning it transcends whatever culture. It transcends whatever generation. It transcends whatever is happening in the world. There is always an application to God's word. So if we don't look into this, we might miss an opportunity to display the gospel in a very unique way if, again, we will not strive to see the general principles wherein the spirit of the passage could still be applied today. It can still be applied today. So therefore, having shown that we are living in two different worlds, our approach to our study this morning is we will look at two things from the passage that will help us determine who in the church should be helped. Or in our term this morning, who in the church that we can consider qualified dependents. And then we will put this two, we put all these things together to form our big idea. And this, as we have our big idea, we will draw its implications for us today. Then we will conclude our sermon. What are the two things we should consider in determining who deserved the special care of the church? I hope when you listen to that, you are not saying, I hope I qualify. You know? I hope when we look at that, we're saying, I want to learn this because I want to see if there's someone in there in the church that needs our help. And we want to take care of that person. The first thing we find here is those who are totally dependent on God. So children in the church, your first words is totally dependent. Totally dependent. I think Paul is saying here that those who are totally dependent and considering the other qualifications Paul said, should be helped. So though widows, again, not only in the time of Paul, but in all of Scripture, by the way, if you notice, in all of Scripture, widows were emblematic of needy people. They were used as a metaphor. They're used as a metaphor to describe needy people who are in need of God. Paul further qualified to Timothy who among the widows who have no other way of living, or not only that they do not have any way of living, but they are totally dependent on God. Because you can be a widow and you have no means for living, but then you have not grown in a way that you just look up to God for your needs. That's why Paul, if you look at verse 3, he said, honor widows who are truly widows. Parang meron palang sa church nagpa-widow-widow lang. Again, looking at the widows in the old, while there might still be semblance of the needs today, like raising up children, I think one of the things that we need to provide for our widows who are having a hard time raising children is to be there in teaching them, in helping them out so that they can raise up their children properly. I can't help to see, though, the huge difference. Widows are used by the Scripture as emblems of needs for a reason. For a reason. The patriarchal culture made it particularly difficult for any woman who did not have a man in their lives, either a husband or a son, to provide for them. Now think about that. Their opportunity to work is almost nothing. Parang kung isipin natin kung makapagtrabaho pa ba yung mga widows at the time, mahirap nga po magtrabaho yung non-college graduate today, di ba? Hiring, saleswoman, qualifications, accounting graduate. Those who are not even graduates, they may have a hard time landing a job. But that picture is nothing to the widows at the time. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 14:35, for example, when Paul said, if the women has questions, don't raise your question in the public. Wait till you go home, ask your husband for any question you have, and then let your husband raise that question. It already painted a picture for us of the place of the women in that particular culture. Parang yung mga women natin sa church, you might be thinking at the back of your mind, thankfully, I'm born in the 21st century. If women will be applying jobs at the time, they might be told to let their husband work. Or if they are a widow, they might be asked, do you have any son? So it will be to the son that he will give you the job. You will destroy the fabric of the community. You'll destroy the fabric of the society if he will give you that job. You will destroy our culture. Historian William Ramsay noted that because of the restrictions of ancient social life, it was not easy for them to maintain their children after the earning member of the family had died, and they stood in need of special consideration and help. I was thinking about buti pa nga yung mga paralytics today, di ba? If you're a paralytic today, you cannot go to the office. Find a work from home job. You can still earn a job, work from home. You're 60s, you're 70s. If you go to Hong Kong or to Singapore, the people who would serve you behind the counter of McDonald's were 80 years old. Today, especially in a time where they said there should be no discrimination, they want to give opportunity to everyone, equal opportunity to everyone. Everyone can have a job in some sense. So there is clearly a big difference today. Thus, we have to see later on who, in some sense, in the church should be considered as really needing the help. Now, there were clearly several widows who wanted to be enlisted. And notice carefully, by the way, this is not like a random help. If you notice the word verse 9, let a widow be enrolled. We will look into that later on, but there might be some or several widows who wanted to be enlisted. But Paul insisted that the church should narrow down the list. Maybe ang nasubmit is 50. And Paul said, narrow down the list. Besides, according to Paul in verse 16, the church should not be burdened too much. I'm pretty sure the picture of the church has not changed. We always feel like we have limited resources, isn't it? If widows were emblems of need, then let those who are truly in need be helped. This is what Paul says. These alone are worthy of being helped. Notice carefully, Paul said, honor widows. He did not just say, help widows. He's talking about widows who deserve to be helped. So who then deserves to be helped? Paul said, in terms of physical needs, there were two kinds of widows, if you may, that Paul did not find worthy of help from the church. The first, he said, when widows have family members and relatives who can help them. Look at verse 3 with me. Sorry, verse 4 to verse 5 with me. Paul said, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return. Dapat lang na that you will take care of your mother who have become widow because she raised you up. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. Now, picture is that Paul, remember that the household before, they were worshiping the Lord, and the expectation of the household is to act like true believers. There were some expectations from the household. Paul talks about godliness and pleasing the Lord in verse 4. And then in verse 8, if you notice, Paul also said this, and this would make things clear. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he said he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We can use it as a window to see the picture of the Christians at that time and realize that if you are a Christian at the time, if you're coming from a Christian family, there is a certain expectation from them. It's like at that time, it was very clear for them. It's so foreign for them. Like today, our culture is very individualistic. In our culture, when you're 18, at least not our culture, in the U.S., they're dying to kick you out from the house, right? In our culture, if we get out of the house already, we have our own families, then many times we do not really care for our parents. But not that culture. It's almost like a taboo. If you are a Christian, it's almost like a taboo in the community of faith that you have forgotten your parents. Paul said it is showing godliness. It is an opportunity to make returns for everything that their mother or grandmother has done to them. It is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. So for Paul, it is the only right thing to do for any believer, if they have a widow in their family, to help them. Even right now, again, the culture has changed. However, it will not be a good thing to see. It will not be a good testimony if we, as believers, would not support our mother na wala na pong asawa and are having a hard time in life. It is not a good testimony of the gospel. Secondly, let me just be quick on these things. There are just verses that we would focus on, as this is a very long passage. Second, Paul said, a self-indulgent widow is disqualified. Yeah, a widow can have no one to help her. But Paul said if she is a self-indulgent widow, she should not be enrolled. Those who still has nothing more important but to satisfy their desires. In Paul's words, look at what Paul said, but she who is self-indulgent is dead. Now you cannot translate that one as dead physically, because Paul said, even when she lives, he was really saying, those who are self-indulgent widow in the church is still dead spiritually, even while she lives. Siguro inisip ni Paul, judging from the life of these widows, which is indulgence, these widows have shown that they have not been saved yet. There's a thing to talk about a little bit here, isn't it? Just a sidebar. Because there's a general application to this, that self-indulgence, people, means they are living to satisfy their own desires. They are living to satisfy their own pleasures. Now, take note of the word. I'm not saying we do not, from time to time, have pleasures. We are not saying that from time to time we do our some of the desires that we have in our hearts. But self-indulgent here is, look at that, it's used as an adjective. Self-indulgent widow. In other words, this defined the life of the widow. The widow lived to satisfy her own desires, to satisfy her own pleasures. And Paul says, even while she lives, she is already dead. Which makes us think, you know, what do we live for? What do we live for? And we say, oh, we do not go with our own pleasures. Some would say, maybe this is sexual pleasures. Others would say, no, this is generally talking about one's desires. But at the end of the day, it's talking about our life. What do you live for? And he's saying, if you are still living to satisfy whatever that desire is, the desire to be rich, the desire to travel the world, the desire to have all the things of this world, again, living. If you're living for those things, Paul says here, you are dead even when you are alive. That kind of life reflects that you do not have true and genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's enough for now, as I might preempt my second point later on. Who were the widows then who should be taken care of by the church? Look at what Paul said. In some sense, he's saying, widows who were totally dependent on God were the ones who deserved to be taken care of by the church. Totally dependent on God. Read with me very quickly, verses 5 to 6. And allow me to spend a little time here because I think this is at the heart of the passage. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 5 to 6. She who is truly a widow, left alone, so wala na po siyang kamag-anak, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. That is important that we read verse 6 because it is contrasted to verses 4 to 5. Paul then said, but she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Now let me say this first. Because Paul contrasted the truly widow in verse 5, that's how he calls them, true widows, to the self-indulgent widow in verse 6. Those who pray hard because they think they are dependent on God, yet they are slaves to their own pleasures, are not really dependent on God. Let me say that again. Those who might think I am dependent on God, many of us think we are dependent on God because we pray to God. But yes, we pray to God, but if we live our lives to run after our pleasures, Paul denied that you are truly dependent on God. How can you depend on God but live on your pleasures? That cannot be. Those who are truly dependent on God live for God and they find it sufficient. If God give them, bless them more, praise God, but they find it sufficient already that God provides for their needs. Think of how crazy it is again when you cry out to God for your needs but you live for your pleasure. At the end of the day, self-indulgent widows means there is nothing more important than to indulge in pleasures. And because there is nothing more important to satisfy but one's pleasure, he will even use what God provided for his needs for his pleasure. I want to put a picture of that. God provide for your needs, pambayad sa Meralco, pero hindi mo papigilan yung sarili mo dahil may nakita kang magandang cellphone. And then you think, anyway, mag-pray na lang ako ulit. We then understand that she who is truly widow has entrusted her life to God. She who is truly widow or dependent on God has entrusted her life to God. Because she has no one in her life to help her, no grandson, no son, no any relative. In Paul's words, she has set her hope in God. It means she is trusting God completely. She is trusting God completely. It is for this reason that Paul continues. Paul qualifies what he meant when he said she had set her hope in God. Paul then continued saying she continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Her life is not spent pursuing her pleasures. Her life is spent praying before the Lord. Night and day is a Jewish expression which does not mean it is the only thing that one does, but that it is a regular habit. In other words, it is one's preoccupation. She is not filled with how to satisfy her desires. She is filled with asking the Lord. That's what is in her mind. Her mind is filled with God all the day, so that it is very natural to her to throw prayer here, to throw prayer there, because she is completely trusting the Lord. Now, looking at that description, titingnan natin, I can safely conclude that true widows are those who are living for God so that it is enough for them to be supplied by God of their needs, which is what they cry out to God day and night. That is a description of one who is truly dependent on God and not the one who lives for her pleasures. There's something to balance here, isn't it? There's something to ponder here, isn't it? Because sometimes we are praying to the Lord for things where our prayers does not reflect like, Lord, I just want to serve you in whatever capacity. And I trust, Lord God, that you will provide for me in my work. Something we burn to God in prayer. Lord, help me because I think, Lord, I need to have a bigger house. I think, Lord, this thing should happen in my life. We are not really praying for our devotion to God and that it is enough for us, that God provides for our needs, although he is a God who is lavish and gracious in all his ways, and he will surely provide even beyond what we need. But sometimes our prayer reflects that we are not really living for God, and that to be provided for our needs is not enough. So the first thing we need to consider, if the gospel should be displayed in how we take care of some in the church, is that we need to take care of a person who is truly dependent on God. Truly dependent on God. She has no one to help her. In our time today, she, and I would even say he, because of the change of culture, legitimately could no longer land a job for whatever reason, maybe because of her age or some physical limitation. And he or she does not have anyone from her family to help him or her. That's the picture. But the only way to know if he or she is truly dependent on God is when he or she no longer lives for her pleasure. He no longer lives for his pleasure, but for God, so that she, Christ, or he cries out to God for his or her needs, not for his or her pleasures. You open your Facebook and you see some people going into vacation, then you come to God in prayer, Lord, mga naman, Lord. It might be right for us to jump ahead to the next thing, or else we might preempt our next point again. Now, Paul further qualified the widows who were somehow entitled for the church help. A widow might have no one to help her, but if she has not proven herself to be fully given to God, she should also be denied. The widow then who should be helped were not only those who are totally dependent, but those who are totally devoted to God. Our children in church, your next words is totally devoted. You have totally dependent and totally devoted. Now, the help that Paul is making about here does not seem to suggest an erratic or circumstantial help. Look at what Paul said. This is a more formal and sustainable one. This is evident in Paul's command to enthrall widows. These widows need to be enthralled. This might have been the reason why Paul is quite stringent of the qualifications. The church will not only be helping once, but could be, that the church commitment is to help these widows for the rest of their lives. While the first qualification might have been important, the second one might be more important. And it is because this is talking about those who have humbled themselves before the Lord, which is really, if you look at this, what the metaphor of a poor, lame, blind widows in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, even the New Testament, many times, does not simply say that God delivers the poor, the lame, the blind, the widows, but that the Lord will deliver the ones who knew that they were weak and in need of God. So it is for this reason that not all of the widows in Jesus himself said that, if you remember, only the widow in Sarepath was it in Sarepath? Sidon? Was shown the goodness of God. So it is not automatic that all the widows were saved. But again, it is emblematic, or it is a metaphor of those who not only that they're weak, but they have come to understand that they're weak and they cry out to God. The point is, only those who truly humbled themselves before God, they are truly widows. They're truly widows. So that they give themselves fully to God, or they give themselves fully to God. Now, look, Paul is contrasting, kinukontrast ni Paul dito, widows who have different passions. The ones who were passionate to serve God, verses 9 to 10, and the ones who might still be passionate for their own passions, verses 11 to 15. This is the heart of verses 11 to 15, I believe. Now, although Paul did give, so nagbigay si Paul ng 60 years old and above in verse 9, and then in verse 11, he also said that younger women should not be enrolled, and we are tempted to think that Paul's focus is age. And then we would apply our context today and think, oh, maybe these widows are retirable already, because in the Philippines, when you are at the age of 60, you are retired. They don't have to retire because even before 60, they don't have a job. That's not what Paul meant. He said the age, but his focus is on their passions. Paul's concern is their maturity. Proven. It might be the word that best describes what Paul wanted to say here. Enroll with those who are proven track record. Some theologians even went to the length of saying that this is a proof that there was such a thing as office of the widows. And then they also said that women can really be in the leadership position because these widows, probably they said, that they hold a certain leadership position in the church. I don't think, hindi ko alam kung saan ang galing yun, basta ang alam ko lang wala yun sa text. I will not go far as that. However, I would say that because the help is more consistent and sustainable in rural widows, resembling almost like how elders, look at the word, because the same word is used to elders later on, pastors who have given their lives to the preaching and teaching of the gospel, honor these elders. Paul almost put them together to me to let us see that the kind of help we should give these widows is the kind of help you might be giving to your elders in the church. We then understand that the qualification is high. These widows should have a proven track record of godliness. In fact, if you look at verse 6, it is said negatively about the self-indulgent widow. But if you really look at it, the expectation is that these widows are without reproach. They should be without reproach. Let me focus first on the widows who should not be enrolled, according to Paul. Paul did not want them to enroll widows who did not seem to control their passion yet. Which was, I believe with those who said that in the mind of Paul here, the thinking of their people at the time is that widows who got to a certain age, they got past already their desires for sexual pleasures. But younger widows, they look at them and they knew that they are still burning in their passions for sexual desires. That's why Paul said, enroll 60 and above. Because they are menopause already. Let us also notice that it was expected, and I want to see us here because we're beginning to see what's the picture. Notice carefully, there is something really strange here because Paul said, because if that enrolled widows would marry, he has left the faith. Pwede ba yun? Grabe naman tong conclusion mo, Paul. Look at, again, verse 11. Look at what Paul said. Refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation of having abandoned their former faith. That this widow, if they will remarry, Paul considered it as living the faith. How are we going to deal with this? Somewhere else, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, that if widows want to remarry, it's okay, so long as they remarry with someone who is in the Lord. What is going on here? I think the focus here is when Paul said, when their passions, he says here, when their passions draw them from Christ. That long before they remarry, their passions have led them away from Christ. Paul's point is that women in the church whose life shows that they could not even control their own sinful desires yet, their own sinful pleasures yet, do not left them. If there's anything, Timothy, that you could not left unchecked, it was unchecked passions. Again, listen to what Paul said. Refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ. In other words, their passions has led them already away from Christ, so that because they're burning in their passions, they remarry. It just shows that they are not in the Lord. You know, these women, if we look at Paul here, we understand that if these women are still burning in their passions, if you help them, if you will help them, you know, probably there's a lot of ones to enroll themselves there because san ka pa? Meron kang support from the church. But he said, if these widows are not mature enough, tuloy, wala na yung magagawa sa buhay, ang gagawin na lang po yan, uupo-upo, busy bodies, then dahil wala silang magagawa, then they would just dumarites the whole day. In Paul's point, do not help in a way that will just give opportunity for further sinning. That's why in verse 15, Paul said, or 14, Paul said, if that is the case, then let them marry so that they have something to do, to take care of their husband, to take care of their wives, because those women who are burning in their pleasure, kung wala yung magagawa sa buhay, yun yung number one na marites. Hala, sorry. Hirap pala yung maging marites tayo, ano? Baka nagpapakita lang po yun, no, na yung pleasure natin is not really the Lord. So self-indulgent, passion-controlled widows should not be helped by the church because it will give them an opportunity to carry their pleasure and passions. And I was thinking about, makilala mo naman din talaga yung tao by their own pleasures and passions. And sorry for the term, but parang sinasabi dito ni Paul na parang yung mga widows na puno ng mga worldly ambitions, at sorry for the term, at talagang kumakaringking pa. You know? I just borrowed the term because I think this is exactly what Paul is saying here. Na talagang nakikita naman natin na talagang kumakaringking pa. Eh, hindi pa ready to be enrolled in the list of widows. On the other hand, widows whose devotion to God and His work have gotten the attention of the church. So we're not just talking about widows here who helped once, but someone who have gotten the attention of the church should be helped by the church. What is Paul talking in verse 9 to 10? Were widows who stood out. These are stood out widows. They stood out when it comes to their godliness. Read with me quickly verses 9 to 10. Paul said, let a widow be enrolled if, so this is a condition that Paul gave, she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. What are the example of these good works Paul gave? And I don't think Paul is just giving us this list, he's just giving us examples of good works. She has brought up her children. She has shown hospitality. She has washed the feet of the saints. She has cared for the afflicted. She has devoted herself to every good works. Now, Paul felt like this is enough for Timothy and the church to understand that he was referring to mature widows. He only gave three, not less than 60. One man, woman. Ito po yung kabaliktaran ng elder, one woman. Men, these widows who should be enrolled should be one man, woman, and passionate for good works. We already noted that the concern for the age is not much as the self-control. And again, it is most likely that generally older women were seen as gotten past the stage of desiring for sexual pleasures. But I would not be surprised that maybe an exception to the rule, some of these widows were less than 60 because they have shown to have controlled their passions. Her track record in marriage is one of faithfulness to her husband. which was rare in their time when sex was seen as commodity to satisfy one's needs. Her faithfulness to her husband throughout the years of their marriage proved her godliness. And thirdly, Paul did not simply say that she is engaged in doing works, but she was known. Reputation. She was known for her well-rounded engagement in doing good. It has been displayed on how she brought up her children. It has been displayed by how she welcomed stranger into her home. We already talked about hospitality. Hindi lang po ito na bisita kayo sa bahay, tapos i-serve namin kayo ng noodles with egg. No, hospitality at the time is to bring strangers into their homes. It has been displayed in how she served believers. She washed their feet. It has been displayed by how she helped and provided for those who are in need or the afflicted. And it has been displayed by her devotion to good works. It is not just something she did. It is her reputation. When a thing becomes a reputation, it is something that is seen in a person in a long period of time. It is consistent in all areas of life. It is the character of a person. It is when we talk about someone else and we right away said, oh, that person, I know that he is. That's our character. That's what we're known for. Nakakatakot, no? Pag pinag-usapan tayo, ano kayong sasabihin nila? So clearly here, what Paul is trying to drive home is that he wanted them to enthrall a widow who is totally devoted to God. A person then that the church should consider helping is one who is no longer living for her or his passion, but undoubtedly for God and the work of the Lord. Yes, if any widow in the church who not only that she has no means for living, but the church has known her for devotion to God and his work, and I believe it is the moral obligation of the church to help her. Minsan lang naman yung mangyayari sa Pilipinas, di ba? Kasi ang mga anak dito, siguro sa China, dahil one child policy, pagka namatay yung husband mo, for example, wala kang trabaho, wala ka ding anak. Pero sa Pilipinas, may 10 anak eh. So, very few instances that this would happen. But in any case, there is a widow in the church who has no means for living for whatever reason. We have to talk about it. But most importantly, she is known by the church for her devotion to God and his work. I think even in our culture today, the church should do this. But because of the change of culture, it can be that anyone who is legitimately no means for living, anyone, men or women, legitimately has no means for living for whatever reason again, and yet his dedication to the Lord could not be questioned. The church should help because it is an opportunity to display the gospel of Christ. I was attending a prayer meeting back in Cebu. And before the prayer meeting start, I found myself talking to this very old man. I think he is in around 68, 67, but he was drenched in sweat. And I asked him, why are you sweating hard? He told me that he was walking around 4 to 5 kilometers just to get to church. And that he did not only do this during prayer meetings, but in all of his ministry, because he is really committed to the work of the Lord. However, he has no means for living. I remember wanting to help him, but I was a young pastor. I was new in the full-time ministry. I also had no means to help him. I could not forget I could not remember all the details, but what if he did not have any family member anymore to help him? What if he faithfully served the Lord in the ministries that he was involved in? Should it not be right that the church considers how to help him? Look at what Paul did here again. These are not pastors and teachers who preach it. Sometimes in church, we will only help those who are pastors who are preaching the gospel to us, and rightly so, because the scripture says so. But what about those who are really faithful to serving the church? And all our attention are in her or in him. He or she stood out. But then he has to walk 10 kilometers just to serve the Lord because he does not have any means at all. Would it not be a bad testimony for the church knowing that there's someone in the church like that and the church doesn't come to help? But here's the thing here. We should embody the truth. We should embody the truth that God takes care of those who are totally devoted to serving him, but have no means of living by providing for them. This is what I said earlier. This is more than just us. This is about reflecting the gospel. This is who we are. We want to display the gospel. We want to see every opportunity where we can display the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yung pala yung dapat na attitude natin, no, pag nakakita tayo ng need. Sometimes, di ba, pag ang dami na nating sunod-sunod yung pinagdaanan ng mga tao sa church, for example, and then meron na namang need nag-present, parang sa atin, parang need na naman, tulong na naman tayo. But if we see needs in terms of opportunity to display the gospel, that at least it changes our hearts. Psalm 68, verses 4 to 6 says this. Psalm 68, verses 4 to 6. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord, exalt before him. Father of the fatherless, protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary, those who are alone, in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in parched land. Our God is a God of the fatherless and the God of the widows. And again, it is clear that widows here is only one of the things that the scripture used to show how God cares for the needy. He is also the father of the fatherless. This just points to the ultimate desire of God to be a father of those who find themselves nothing apart from God. It is for this reason that the New Testament teaches that believers have God as their father, so that the Holy Spirit even teaches them to call God as their Abba. Because God is a provider. In seeking to meet the true needs of his chosen ones, he provided his son, Jesus Christ. And we are told by the scripture that if God even provide his son, how much more our daily needs? That's why Jesus himself said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for all these things shall be added unto you. This is who our Father is. He is a Father who will provide for those who are serving him, who loved him, who humbled themselves before him. He provides for their needs. And now, the Father does it in many times through the church. And the question for us here, church, is would we want to reflect this character of God? Or should we continue to just protect our lives and we have to, you know, be fireproof and Don't tell me your problems and don't tell me your needs because you will shaken my comfort and my convenience. Or are we excited to reflect this so that when we see need, there is some sort of excitement. We know what will entail us. We know the cost. We know the suffering that it might even bring us. But because we are excited to reflect the gospel of Christ, then at least it will change our hearts. How then should the church honor those who are totally devoted to God but have no means for living? You see, kung may magagawa pa po tayo upang kumita for us and our family, we should do it. I think Paul is also right in saying, huwag ka namang maging pabigat sa church. Let not the church be burdened in verse 16. Also, we do not want that instead of having a work that would occupy our time, we live by the support given to us by others and it left us idle and end up using our time to sin against God. Hindi rin po yun yung gusto nating mangyari. However, again, we are praying for standouts. Those who are willing to be drenched with sweat because they are willing to walk if that is the cost to pay for him to do the work of the Lord. If there are those who are unquestionable in their devotion to God and his work, and yet they have no means for living, the church should seize the opportunity to help them because it is an opportunity to reflect the gospel of Christ. On a more general note, even if they were not widows, even if we are working, there are still time. On a more general note, there are still time that things can get overwhelming. Right? I'm thinking of, and I did not ask for permission, but maybe it's okay with her. I'm thinking of one of our sisters. She did not ask me, but I've learned that her parents, her mother, her father are in the hospital. And then she said, and now, Pastor, my pamangkin has joined us here in the hospital too. I think about how difficult that would be. I think it would be so unchristian for us to just say, we'll pray for you. That this is exactly the same as Paul saying, you're worse than an unbeliever. You see someone going through that one inside the church, and it's okay for you to know it and not do anything. I think we have to embody that, even if the person has worked, but situationally has placed her or him in such a difficult situation. We have to do that. This can be applied to the workers in the church who are very, very faithful again, but at some point they might be needing our help. These are some of the ways that we can also reflect the gospel in our culture. Not their culture, our culture. We have to look for those opportunities where the gospel will be best displayed. We should honor God by honoring those of us who are totally devoted to serving God but have no means for living, by either temporarily or more sustainably providing for his or her needs.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Cruciform Life Church podcast. Check out more gospel-centered messages at www.cruciformlifechurch.org or subscribe to this podcast at Spotify.